Started a new lesson last week entitled Acceleration, and this will be part two of the series. And this is going to be our theme for the year, and I think that, if you'll stay with me during the series and apply the word that you're being taught, I'm telling you, it's going to change your 2017. I'm excited about it because I'm teaching some aspects I've never taught before, and it's just building on some of the things that God has shown me over the last 15 years. My mic went out. And one day I'm going to compile and put all this together, but I'm really excited about this. Well, last week we started by definition, and we said acceleration means to move faster, to increase in speed, therefore reducing the time required to accomplish a specific work. So acceleration means to move faster, to increase in speed, therefore reducing the time required to accomplish a specific work. So when we're talking about acceleration for 2017, we're talking about, some things speeding up in my life. You got it? So that I can accomplish some things that I know that God has put in my heart to do, and I'm going to do it in less time. You got it? Now, I don't know about you all. That sounds good to me. You got it? There are some things that some of you all have been waiting for a long time, and you just need some acceleration. Somebody say acceleration.
Acceleration.
Now, why do I believe this? Because God does not want you to lose hope or sight of the victory that is already yours. All right? And this is where believers have to rest in, is that, you're not trying to gain victory. You already have victory. You got it? God has already gave you the victory. You got it? But now what you got to do is you need for that victory to manifest in your natural life. So it's already yours. You're not trying to get something. What you're trying to do is you're trying to manifest what you already have. So it's not, it's more than just our time. You got it? I believe it's our time, to thrive. That some of us have just been surviving. We've just been able to keep our head above water. But I believe that God is saying, listen, we're going to bring acceleration into your life, and you're not only going to just survive, you're going to begin to thrive. So now the question is, how are we going to do this? And, in this church, we believe that you're going to do it by faith. Got it? And this was the platform that we started building on last week, and this is what we're going to continue in this week. So if you will, go to Hebrews 11:32. Hebrews 11:32, and this is our foundational text, so you can mark this in your Bibles, because we'll be going here every Sunday, and especially the foundational text, you may want to meditate on it. All right, and it says, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, also in Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Verse 33 says, who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promise blessings, closed the mouths of lions. So what we've been looking at is we've been looking at these three things. What we're talking about is conquering kingdoms, administering justice, and we're also talking about attaining the promise. Now, we understand that faith is the legal conduit for the heavens. So what did I mean when I say faith is the legal conduit for the heavens? If God is going to do something in the earth, he's going to do it through faith, by the faith of a man or a woman in the earth. So a man or woman has to be fully persuaded about what God has already said, you got it, in order for it to come to pass in the earth. You got it? And that requires full persuasion. Can't be something that I'm iffy about. I have to be fully persuaded about it. And people, especially in the religious circles, get very confused about this because somehow they just believe that God can do whatever it is he want to do when he want to do it. And that's not the case as it relates to the earth. If God is going to do something in the earth, he's going to do it through the faith of a man or a woman. So if a man or a woman in the earth does not get fully persuaded about what God has said, God is not going to do anything in the earth. You got it? So people say, well, why did God let that happen? No, why did God let that happen? Why you let it happen? No, whatever you allow, come on, God will allow. And this is where people get confused about religion, because they think, well, God just, you know, need to haul off and just take care of it. No, haul off and just, oh, that's not the case. If God was going to make something happen, he'll make us live right. Wouldn't y'all like that? Wouldn't have to worry about trying to live right? God just made you live right. You got it. So if he was going to make you do something, he will make you do right. And I'm telling you, this is a lie that's being brought forth from the pulpit. You got it. So then what folk do is they get mad and upset with God because they feel like God didn't do anything. But no, if God is going to do something in the earth, he's going to do it by the faith or through the faith of a man or a woman in the earth. This is why the Bible says, pray thy kingdom what? Come in the earth as it already is in what? Heaven. Thy kingdom. Y'all been praying the prayer since you've been 10. You know, play ball and put it in that prayer. You got it? So the will of God in heaven, listen, it does not come to pass automatically in the what? In the earth. You got it? What we pray is we want his will to come to pass in the what? Earth. And if it's going to do it, it's going to do it through the conduit of faith, which means some man or some woman must be fully persuaded about what God has already said. Now, the scripture we use to validate this is Hebrews 2 and 7. Not going to turn there, but you can write it down, Hebrews 2 and 7 and 8, because I'm reviewing from last week, Hebrews 2 and 7 and 8. And this scripture states that God has put, watch this, everything under the subjection of man. Everything that God has created, his work, he's put under man's authority. You got it? There's a scripture that says he made him a little lower than angels and all that. You got it? But everything has been put under the subjection. God made it, and then he gave man authority what? Over it. You got it? So it's under my authority. It is under my jurisdiction. Now, last week, what we began to focus on over here in verse 33 is we began to focus on that word administer, or we began to talk about administering justice. Now, we said administer means to manage or to have the charge over. So when we're talking about, you know, administration, and we're talking about administering, we're talking about, you know, that we're going to have the charge over, or we have the responsibility to manage. Now, which simply means that there will be no justice in the earth unless the believer administers it. You got it? Because it says administering what? Justice. So that means, listen, justice should be in the earth, but it's not going to be unless it's administered through a man or a woman by faith. You got it? So that means that in my life, I could have something going on that is illegal as far as heaven is concerned. And if I don't administer justice by faith, then that means that illegal activity will continue. And it's not God's fault. Y'all quiet this morning. It's illegal. See, there's a lot of illegal activity that can be going on in your life. Watch this, that God, watch this, will continue to let go on in your life unless you administer justice. Right. You know, and you know, you got people, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, God waiting on you. Yeah. You got it? So you're going to have to administer justice. Now, I think I gave you the example. I gave you an example last week of the garden. You remember when we talked about the garden? And we said that you can have a garden in your yard, and you can plant all these nice vegetables, and they start coming up, and they look real nice, and you have this desire that one day you're going to enjoy those vegetables or whatever you planted. You got it? But then you get up one morning, and you start seeing these weeds in your garden. You got it? And then you see the weeds growing up, and the weeds continue to get bigger to the point where they overtake the garden and then eventually choke the life out of everything that you've planted. You got it? And now, watch this, the vegetables that you thought you was going to enjoy, you don't get a chance to enjoy because the weeds, watch this, choke the life out of your what? Vegetables. They got into your garden illegally. Now, this is what you should have did or should have done. You got it? When you saw the weeds show up in your garden, you should have what? Pulled the weeds. You should pull the weeds. Pulling the weeds is administering justice. You got it? So, but what happened, this is what folk do, is folk see Deweese, leave Deweese there, and then they complain about God because they're deaf in their life. Okay. Oh, look, I ain't gonna move too fast on this. You know your marriage is weedy. You got all kinds of stuff going on. It ain't right. You got it? And then, you know, but you will sit there and you will sit there, look at the weeds, but you won't do anything about the weeds. Then when the marriage die, everybody's shocked. Why did they die? Because you didn't administer no justice. No, you didn't administer justice. So the weeds took over the garden, and eventually the garden what? Died. Now, watch this. Did God bless your garden? Yes, the garden was blessed by God. You got it? But what we didn't do is we didn't administer what? Justice. So something illegal got in to the point where it killed it. You got it? And then people are sitting right now. No, we look at your finances. You look at areas in your life where you spend too much time in the store. Every dollar you make is every dollar you spend. Buying stuff of no value. You got it? But then you always talk about your money short. No, your money ain't short. You got weeds. You got it? So now you're a little short. Now you want me to lend you some money. See, but if you were to pull the what? Weeds, your finances will what? Flourish. You got it? But this is what we're talking about. This is administering justice. You got it? Listen, we ain't got to talk about how the devil got in. No, here's the goal. Let's get him out. You got it? He got in. We know he in. Come on, let's get him what? Let's get him out. So now what I got to do is I got to administer what? Justice. And that is my part. That's my part. And it is not somebody else's job to administer justice in your life. You got it? You got the weeds. That's like me coming to your house, and you got all these weeds in your garden. Then I say, well, you know what, man? I'm going to get down there and pull the weeds for you. The devil is a lie. You won't eat not now, cucumber, if I got to pull them. You see what I'm saying? You need to do something about it. Listen, it's like that with our health. Some of y'all know you got health stuff going on that you won't do nothing about. You think you can continue to eat like you want to eat? You really think I can just have what I want to have, do what I want to do? No, you better administer some what? Justice. Now watch this. If you don't, then the devil will come into your life illegally and snuff it out. You'll show up and they'll be like, man, you got here real early. Go to heaven. You show up in heaven, the angel sitting at the gate. He said, man, you here really early. You supposed to be here 40 years later. You got it? So I got to look at my life. You got it? And I must begin to administer what? Justice. Now, Satan and this world system will do whatever they want to do in your life here on earth. And it doesn't make a difference how illegal it is in heaven. If you don't administer justice by faith, it will continue. Now, it's going to continue. You know, because I'm going to show you this morning, in this lesson, you better understand the devil is going to challenge you. No, listen, Doc, it ain't nothing you can do about it. I don't care how holy you live. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much scripture you can quote. The devil's still going to challenge you. You got it? And you cannot stop that. You got it? That's coming. Now, I gave you a formula. I gave you a formula last week, and I hope you wrote it down. We're gonna run through it this week, and then we're going to pick it up with something new. All right? Now, I said it's a simple process or a formula. The first is deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. You got it? Now, I made a statement. I said, now, if you are saved, you are already delivered. Listen, you're not trying to be delivered. You already are what? Delivered. All right? Now, once we have deliverance, The next thing that happens is a word, or you can say instructions. So first I get delivered, then I get a word, or you can say instructions. Next is the administering of that word, or you can say a process. So I get saved, I get a what? Word, then I have to administer that word. Now, after I administer the word or the instruction, you got it? That word or those instructions causes me to engage conflict. All right? Now, this is what believers don't like. You got it? When you begin to do what it is that God tells you to do, you got it? Conflict will show up. Just because you are engaging, I'm going to take it a step farther. God will lead you into conflict. I'm going to show you in the Bible. It'll lead you right into conflict. Conflict is a part of the process. Right. Now, because everybody talking about, well, I just want peace. You know, peace. There is no peace. Let me help you. No, I'm getting ready to help you out with this. Because this is what everybody want. I just want peace. You know, Lord, just give me. There is no peace. Didn't Jesus come, you know, for us to just have peace? No, Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I came to pit mother against daughter, father against son. He said, one of their own household, watch this, they're going to be against each other. Jesus didn't come to bring, when they said, well, what about, you know, Jesus says, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Ho, you messed it up. Everybody, Christmas, everybody get all this peaceful thing. They think that Jesus came to bring peace. No, that is not what happened. Jesus came to bring peace between man and God. You miss it. That's the whole text. Yes, you're at peace with God. There's no the moment you get saved, there's no conflict between you and God. But because I'm saved and because I try to live right, watch this, it's going to cause me to encounter conflict in the fallen earth. So this is what happens. People get a word. Then they try to administer that word. Then they engage conflict, or it gets tough. Watch this. And then they run. Or they back up. Well, this is too hard. This is too hard. This cannot be God. No, it's all God. You got? And this is what happens in believers' lives. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Because which is, I don't want no trouble. No, Jesus said, in this world, come on, you will have what? Trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the what? So now there's a way that if you're in me, you can overcome. But as long as you're in this world, you're going to have to deal with trouble, or you're going to have to deal with conflict, or you're going to have to deal with illegal activity that tries to show up in your life. You're going to have to deal with it. Whether you save or not. Well, I don't want no trouble. Die. No, that's the only way you're not going to have it. You got it? But if you want success, or you want what God has already purchased for you, you cannot be afraid of conflict. You can't be afraid of it. You know, and this is what people, you know, you got issues going on in your household, and you scared to even say something. You know, you scared to even say something. So you'll sit there and you ignore the problem like it ain't there. Everybody else ain't see the elephant in the room but you. No, big old elephant sitting in there and won't nobody deal with the elephant that's in the room. Won't nobody say nothing. Why? Because I just want peace. Man, forget that. You're going to have to deal with the what? Elephant. You're going to have the elephant there, you're going to have to deal with it. For you to just sit there and act like it ain't there, it's not going to cause the devil to go nowhere. All right. Y'all all right? No, that one point right there will change your life. Just because God spoke something to somebody else, that does not mean that was spoken to you. He could have told me to go, AJ, I need you to get $10,000. He told me to get $10,000. He gonna make sure I had a $10,000 a year. God, I know I give the $10,000. Now, you go out there, you ain't heard nothing from God. But you're going to get 10 because I gave 10. And now you mad because you didn't get what I got. No, you better hear from God. Okay, I'm glad you told me that. Now, listen, tithing is a principle. So you can't say, well, God ain't told me to tithe because you ain't listening. All right, you don't try to play no games now. You got it. But when it comes, no, see, you get no cut there. Just like, God ain't tell me to live right. No, it's because you ain't listening. God didn't tell me to stop fornicating. That's because you ain't. God didn't tell me to stop committing adultery. You ain't. It's in the Logos. You don't have to worry about that. You got it? But what I'm talking about is I'm talking about Rhema. And when I hear Rhema and I act on Rhema and I get what? Impact. Somebody say impact. Impact. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Now, in order to receive Rhema, you must be around or in the presence of him through which all Rhema flows. Okay. Let's say you want God to speak to you about your situation, but you don't spend no time with God. Come on. Okay, let me do the natural. Corey can say, well, I want to hear what Pastor AJ say. Well, if you're going to hear what Pastor AJ say, that means you're going to have to put yourself in Pastor AJ what? Presence. If you don't put yourself in my presence, you can't hear what I what? Say. And you got folk who want a word from God. You got it. But you don't never want to be in his presence. Now I'm going to show you this. Now you're getting ready to understand why the enemy fights you about certain things. Going to church. Praying. Reading your Bible. Worshiping. All of those things that put you in his presence, the enemy fights you about. He always gives you some kind of excuse or something shows up so that you don't have to be there. Why? Because he don't want you in his what? Presence. Because the moment you get in his presence, you might hear his voice. Jesus, glory be to God. And when you hear his voice and you know it's God, and I impact and I act on that word or administer what? Justice, then it causes impact in my life. But here's what folk won't do. I'm just going to flat out tell you. There's never been a time or a situation in my life and something jumped off personally in my life that God did not tell me exactly what to do. I didn't have to go ask somebody else. He told me exactly what to do. Why? Because I love his presence. See, but here's it. We got this get over mentality where you want the word of God. But you really don't even like being around God. Look, you don't even like being around folk who like being around God. But yeah, no, you really don't. You really don't. Folk who trying to live right and do right and all that kind, you really don't want to be around them. You want to be around with the ones that's hooking, crooking, lying. That's where you feel comfortable. So that's who you gravitate around. But then you have a situation that jumps off in your life. And now you're like, God, what do I do? And you can't hear nothing. See, what I'm working on is trying to hear God for other folk. Chris can tell you, ain't nothing ever jumped off in our life that I didn't say, let me go hear from God. Have I ever came to you and told you, well, God ain't said nothing? Always. Now, do you think I'm special with all my issues? No. Because I don't want to sit here and think that I think I'm perfect or something like that. No, but here's what I do. I stay in his presence. Got it? I stay in my word. I pray. I worship. I do those things that cultivates an atmosphere so I can hear from God. You got it? Because now it may not be your life depending on it. It may be your child's. then what you going to do? No, you won't do it. Because some of y'all won't do it for yourself. At least you ought to do it for your child. Because ain't nothing ever jumped off in my children's life that I went to God. And I'm on here. God going to tell me exactly what to do. He going to tell me. He going to, what? Can I? Listen, let me say, whatever concerns you, concerns God. Don't never let somebody tell you God ain't studying that. Don't, no, if it's bothering you and it concerns you, you can cool believe God is concerned about it. And watch this, and he wants to give you your answer. Because you, listen, you are very important to God. You so important to God that he died for you. He took on flesh. Yeah, God died for you. Because watch this, Jesus was God in the flesh. He came to this earth and he died for you. Folk get it mixed up with Jesus. Think Jesus is just a man. No, Jesus, God. And okay, you sit there and do whatever on the side y'all do. No, Jesus, God. You better understand that. And he wants to speak to you about your situation. And don't you never let somebody tell you that you're not important enough. God wants to tell you. And you ain't got to be all, you, listen, Doc. When God spoke to me about my marriage, about me and Chris are separated. God, and I told my story. Folk don't believe me. But I don't care. You ain't got to believe me. I know what God did. Got it? I'm sitting there. I'm drinking all this kind of stuff. I'm in my room one night. And, man, I'm just frustrated with life. I done failed at the thing that was most important, my family. And I'm out there with my boys. I'm drinking the high party and all this kind of stuff. Then I go in my bed at night. I'm crying like a baby because I'm miserable. You know, I got this facade out here around the boy. Yeah. But then in the bed, when ain't nobody in the bed, I'm crying like a baby because I failed. And I failed at the most important thing, my family. And in one of those stupors, I'm sitting there and I'm crying. And I said, God, help me. I want to do what's right. But I don't know how to change it. And he spoke these words I never forget. He says, be her friend. Now, he didn't say, be a friend and you're going to get her back. I wish he had told me that, but he didn't. He says, be a friend to her. Now, when I started being a friend to her, the folk that I hung around, man, if they didn't, I'm in a fraternity called Omega Psi Phi Qs. I had two other brothers living with me in my house. When I started being a friend to her, after what we've been through, they called me everything they could. Weak, nose wide open, punk, everything they could call me, they called me. But I still had to be a friend. She would call me. I go pick her up, go take, get up. She ain't say, she ain't want me, she ain't want me back. That's all right. See, because you got to understand something. No, watch this. No, I'm glad she said that. Because y'all don't think the word of God has power to override somebody else. Now, I did what God told me to do. God told me to be her friend, even though she didn't want me. Now she can't keep her hands off me. God, if this is it, Cole. Folk think the word, the word has the power to change anything. You got it? But and I won't live in perfect. I was knee deep in sin. But I cried out to God. I humbled myself. I don't know what to do. Now, did it happen the next day? No, it took me almost 12 months. But in the end, the boy won. You got it? No, watch this. No, because I'm going to have to go this coach now. Because there was many days I felt like I was being played. With my mentality and my temperament, got this woman playing me. I don't need her. I get any woman I want. Yeah, I was lying to myself because I wanted her. Come on, you know how you start. You know how you start fabricating this. Yeah, I don't really want it. I don't really want it. Oh, Jesus. Some of y'all ain't with the one you really wanted because you wouldn't fight long enough for him. So you settle for something else. That's why you're mad. Now you're going to have to pray for God to shape them and mold them and make them into what you want them to be. Oh, yeah. Got some amens in here somewhere. See, but you'd rather lie to yourself. No, you wanted a Mercedes, but you sell it for a Honda. Ain't nothing wrong with it. So wait. But no, well, if it ain't nothing wrong with it, stop complaining about the ride. Stop complaining about the ride. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Stop complaining about the ride. I know, praise the Lord. My stuff is a little bit unorthodox, but that's okay. I get the point. I bet everybody understood what I'm talking about, right? That's my whole thing. So what I'm trying to tell you is you ain't got to be some kind of perfect Christian to hear from God. Don't let somebody tell you that you got to be all holy, pray 4-5 times a day, you know, all this kind of stuff. No, you ain't got to do all that. The only thing you got to do is say, God, I need your help. And the moment you hit that point in your life, it's like a radar goes on and God said, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this. Because now when I speak, you are at the place where I'm ready to hear. All right? Now watch this. Let me watch this. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Praise the Lord. Now, so when time is spent with God, when everyone else sees the problem, watch this. You see the opportunity to administer justice. See, now, I want y'all to hear it. So everybody need to buy this CD. When you spend time with God, what will happen when everybody else see problems, you see opportunity. You got it? So I says, when everybody else complaining, you like, I see this. I see what God doing in this. You got it? Because why? You don't see like they see because of the time spent. How you going to spend time? That's why I hear folks. How you? Talking about they spending time with God. How you going to spend time with God and you ain't changed? That ain't even scriptural. That's not scriptural. Anybody that watch this die. When prostitutes got around Jesus, they didn't want to prostitute no more. When thieves got around Jesus, they didn't want to thieve no more. When murderers like Paul got around Jesus, they didn't want to murder no more. So why don't you not want to do all the things you used to do no more? Probably because you ain't really around Jesus. But don't nobody want to talk about that. That's the elephant in the room. What did I say, 1 Samuel 17? I'm almost done, y'all. I knew it was going to take me a little bit today, but this is one of those pivotal messages. See, because once you get this one today, everything else is going to connect. You know, like when you're putting together Legos and you get that one main piece or a puzzle. You ever put together, I can't stand them. But when you get that one main piece, it seems like everything else come together. The day is the piece. The day is the piece. Now watch this, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, what did I say, 17? We're going to look at David. All right? 1 Samuel, David, verse 19. It says, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. And David what? Heard him. Now I want you to set this up. Now out of all the times that Goliath could have showed up, he showed up around the same time David showed up. I don't believe in coincidence. Why did he have to show up at the time David showed up? But it seemed like when David showed up, he showed up. All right? Now, stay with me. Verse 1. What verse to stop at? 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore what? Afraid. So now, let's set this up. What's going on? Watch this. You got all of God's people. Like all of us. We the army. You got it? Now, Goliath, he shows up. And he starts taunting them. He starts insulting them. And this guy is big. Mean. And the army, God's people, based off what they saw and heard, it caused them to run.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish this. Point one. I cannot prevent the enemy from challenging me. Got it? They couldn't stop Goliath from challenging them. Watch this. He challenged them. All right? You cannot stop the enemy from challenging you. He gonna challenge me, and he gonna challenge you. However, but time spent with God will determine your actions when you're challenged.
Okay.
Now watch this. Everybody else was saved. Let's say the quote like that. They were saved. Goliath showed up. They ran. They saw conflict. They ran. David, the one that shows up, that's been spending time with God out there in the wilderness. How I know he was spending time with God? I'm going to let y'all read the rest of the night when you go home. The Bible says a bear showed up and David killed the bear. Bible says a lion showed up and David killed the what? Lion. And then David says the same God that delivered, watch this, put the lion in my hand and put the bear in my what hand, that same God, watch this, is going to be with me to take out Goliath. See, now I want you to hear me. When you spend time with God, what trips everybody else out don't trip you out. What? No. This is what folks, everybody can pray right when everything good. Everybody can come to church. Everybody can say what needs to be said. Everybody, when everything good. What about when the heat gets on? What you got to say about God now? And now watch this. This is not determined in public. No, this is determined in private. So if you don't have a private life with God, you won't have public success with him. Okay, there, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, glory. No, if you don't have a private, your private life determines your public success. And this is what folk don't understand. When you see these athletes and all these jokers, you know, making all this money. If you will look at how these guys train when ain't nobody looking. It's their private life. It's what they're doing in what? Private. But you got folk in church. We want all this success with God. But watch this. We have no private life with God. Because if you did, it would affect your public actions. So when you want to look at this thing in a sum total, the whole reason why you scared when Goliath shows up, the whole reason why is because, you know what? You really don't have a relationship with God. David makes this statement. He says the living God. See, you better know you serve a live God. You better understand when situations jump off, watch this, that you have no control over. No, you better know you serve God. Because that's what I tell, I will get dogmatic. I mess some folk up. You keep wrong pushing me in the corner. I say, you better get up off me. Because watch this, you ain't just facing me. I don't care what you think. I got all heaven backing me. Now, if you think you can beat God, come get some. See, y'all can't talk. See, that because they scared. Because people scared. They don't have, the confidence ain't in me. The confidence in who? God. And this is, we have no confidence in God because we don't spend no time with God. We want to have all this rhema from God, but you ain't spending no time with God. You need revelation from God about your situation. God, listen, God can give you an idea tonight that'll make you $10 million next year. Y'all see, you don't even believe that, do you? So how many of y'all believe that? Raise your hand. Now, if I really believe that, don't you think I'll be suspending some time with God to kind of figure out what he got to say to me? I gotta speak at this real estate firm tomorrow up in Rock. And you know, you speak folk, they don't want you, you know, say God and all Jesus and all this kind of stuff. But you know, I do what I do. You don't call me back. Got it? Now, because I can't say nothing really about saying something. It's gonna come out some way, it's gonna leak out. Because it's all in there. But here's the thing, that one of the things I'm talking to tomorrow, how you going, do y'all know money ain't in heaven? All right, now watch this. If you're going to get money, you better know something about the marketplace. Money flows through the marketplace. Y'all know that, right? You got believers don't know nothing about the marketplace, but yet they want all this money. You got to know something about the marketplace. That's just like, Mr. Rowland, you're a fisherman, right? That's just like, you going fishing for bass with croaker bait and then mad because you ain't got a bite all day. You got the wrong bait. But the folk in church, they don't want to talk about stuff like that. You think you just can continue to have the limited knowledge you got about stuff, but you think you're going to get all this other stuff. It doesn't work like that, baby. You're going to have to increase in your knowledge. And then watch this. Then watch God. What God will do is he will give you wisdom based off the knowledge you have. And now that's going to take you to a whole nother level. So what took them 10 years to build going to take me 5. You got? But I got to have this balance. I got to have this balance. And I got to understand the importance of me hearing from God. Now, get a load of hand. I'm done. So I'm already went over. I'm done. So I can go a whole lot farther. We're starting my